Food Heals Nation, what have you been doing lately when it comes to truly caring for your skin? Have you tried any of the light therapy facials or the LED masks? I've shared on this show how I use lasers to completely remove my brown spots in the past, and I love anything that can help me with wrinkles or blemishes or redness or scars. I find a lot of great products on YouTube that I test out, and I've just discovered a new brand. It's called Lima. And when you see the before and afters on YouTube, you're going to be a convert too. They are changing the way that you care for your skin on actually a profoundly scientific level. This is the Lima laser. It's the world's most powerful clinic-grade cosmetic laser device and the only laser FDA cleared for at-home use. Why this is important is because I was spending, I'm not going to tell you how much, way too much money years ago when I was getting rid of those brown spots, when I was really healing my skin. And now this same type of technology is available at home, and I'm here for it. I am so excited. So this is a near infrared laser light that penetrates deep into the dermis, simultaneously working on your fat, muscle, and bone to give you like a non-surgical facelift. It transforms your skin. It helps skin issues like wrinkles, sagging, blemishes, pigmentation, redness, breakouts, and scars. And it does this with zero damage, zero pain, and zero downtime. And I remember the lasers that I used to do, they did have some downtime, so this is great. Make sure to check out some of the before and after photos on the website so you can see what I'm talking about. They have YouTube videos too. But the reason it's groundbreaking is it uses that near-infrared low-level light technology, which is completely cold and painless, and it's 100 times more powerful than an LED. And the craziest part is you can even use it with a full face of makeup. So check it out for yourself. Visit lima.life. L is for live, Y is for younger, M is for masterful, A is for approved, and learn more about the Lima laser. If you're interested in trying one today, you can sign up for their newsletter. Tell them that Food Heals sent you, and please let me know if you order one. I want to hear about your results. Again, it's lima.life, L-Y-M-A.life. Y'all, oh my God, Food Heals Nation, I just got the softest sheets and pajama set from Cozy Earth, and I had to go and get you a discount code too so that you could experience the coziness as well. You can visit CozyEarth.com, use the promo code FOODHEALS, and you'll get an exclusive 35% off. So Cozy Earth, it's like your one-stop shop for what they call the luxury she deserves. So listen up, guys, because this could make a great gift for that special someone, your girlfriend, your wife, the mother in your life. And don't forget, Mother's Day will be here before we know it. So get a gift for the mom or moms. Here's a nice little gift you could ask for. Anyways, let's start with the sheets to transform your sleep. The coolest thing about Cozy Earth bedding is that it is temperature regulating, so you stay cool, which is so important when you're sleeping. Plus, they are just so soft. It feels like I'm sleeping on a cloud. Plus, I love the Cozy Earth quality and longevity promise. All products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and just overall wellness. So again, this is the luxury you deserve. You can treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear, and prioritize your self-care and sleep health. And while you're at it, don't forget to check out the Bamboo Pajama Set. It was awarded Oprah's Favorite Things in 2019, so you know it's good. I love the softness and breathability of the fabric, and it has these really great side pockets. And don't forget that by supporting our sponsors, you support this show. Head over to CozyEarth.com, use the promo code FOODHEALS for an exclusive 35% off, and go get your mom the luxury she deserves on Mother's Day at CozyEarth.com with promo code FOODHEALS.
Food Heals Podcast, episode 218.
So much amazing stuff out there that's natural, that I've been using for years and years and years and years and years, that most of our medicine is based off of.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it seems foreign to a lot of people in this day and age.
No, but the doctor says you need this pill. I'm like, why? Like, why would that be your first choice? No. You got to do this through food. We're using like a natural substance from the fucking the freaking planet. And like something.
Melissa cursed everyone.
Oh, shit.
Holistic Voice presents the Food Heals podcast with your hosts, Alison Melody and Susie Hardy. Join the Food Heals Nation and learn the secrets to go from feeling unwell to healing yourself.
Warning, side effects of this podcast may include increased health and vitality, thoughts of living longer, an increase in sexual activity, feelings of joy, cravings for kale and quinoa, and a spike in Tinder matches. In rare cases, people have experienced a strong desire to put in their Lululemons and take a yoga class while drinking a green juice. If you experience any of these symptoms, text your priest immediately.
All right, welcome, Food Heals Nation. I'm Alison Melody, and today I got to sit down with two of my favorite people. We're friends IRL, not just online friends. We actually hang out in person. Alana Levine is an LA native who ditched her advertising career to dive into eco-entrepreneurship with her amazing brand, CleanSlate.com. Alana grew up eating the standard American diet, which caused her to suffer from acid reflux at just 16 years old. She was put on medication, the side effects of which she is still dealing with today. That's why she is now determined to raise awareness of healthy living and natural alternatives to pharmaceuticals. And Alana and I were joined by Melissa Gleszewski from the brand Fork and Plants. Like Alana, Melissa grew up eating a highly processed standard American diet. At the age of 30, after years of unhealthy habits accumulating in her body, she began developing health issues that made her rethink everything she thought she knew. She saw multiple doctors for different issues and ultimately decided to take the most natural approach to heal herself. She created Fork and Plants to share all of her healthy and comforting recipes, all her healthy living tips, and her experiences throughout this journey of creating balance and learning to heal herself. And this year, she also launched her personal chef business of the same name. Together, Alana and Melissa host vegan events throughout Los Angeles, most recently with yoga and mimosas. Now that's my kind of party. And don't forget Food Heals Nation, that energy healer, Lisa Thomas. She's our DNA healer. She has given us two incredible gifts for you. The first is a free healing meditation, which is really all about healing your relationship with money so you can attract all the abundance into your life that you deserve. Plus, you can get $100 off a DNA healing session with Lisa. This can be done in person in LA or over the phone from wherever you live. If you haven't listened to episode 115 with Lisa, make sure you go back and check it out. We're getting huge reviews on that one. People love it. I love Lisa. She's my personal, now I would say, coach, mentor, therapist. She does all of the things. And in that episode, we talked about releasing inherited emotional blocks, healing your money mindset, and how to really manifest your desires. So Lisa's goal is to empower individuals to reach their full potential by removing inherited emotional blocks like fear of success, fear of failure, anxiety, procrastination, excess weight, fear of public speaking, false money beliefs, relationship drama, and business stagnation. And by removing those negative energy and inherited patterns, it empowers people to get their gifts, talents, and ideas into the world more confidently and in alignment with their soul's purpose. So go to www.foodhealsnation.com/Lisa and you can get her free healing meditation and release those inherited money beliefs absolutely free, and definitely get a session with her. It is worth every penny, Food Heals Nation. Next up, my interview with Melissa and Alana.
The Food Heals Podcast starts now.
All right, I'm here with two fabulous vegan vixens. One is a plant-powered personal chef, and one's a plant-powered influencer. Welcome, Melissa and Alana.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Hi Melissa. There. Hi, Alana.
Hi.
So glad to have you, girls. So, Melissa, you are new to the podcast, but you're not new to me or Alana. And Alana, you are a regular around here now because this is your second appearance, but it's been a while since we've had you.
So it welcome has. Back. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah. But let's start with you, Melissa. So you have the amazing brand Fork and Plants. You've got a great Instagram following, your personal private vegan chef. Tell us about who you are and what you do.
So I am Melissa. I'm from Wisconsin. I originally went to school for healthcare, and I decided that that was no longer in alignment with my beliefs. and worked in an office for a long time and recently just quit that office job in December, just before Christmas.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Seriously.
So I've just been working on kind of building my brand, focusing on my passions, launching my personal chef business, hosting events and pop-ups. I love cooking for people, helping people live healthy lives. So that's what I've been doing since December.
Yeah, and you have a beautiful Instagram that I'm obsessed with.
I love posting food pictures. So.
Yes. Me too. I'm
don't look at it when you're hungry.
Everything. I couldn't watch it yesterday. I was doing a 24-hour fast and it was too hard.
Then no. You have to go Instagram. You have to get off social media if you're on a fast.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Alana, it's been a while since you've been here. So tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what you've been up to since we last saw you.
Since the last time I was here, I'm still in the community, still plant-based influencer, foodie. I travel and I like to post about that as well, especially when it's about kind traveling. So the options that you can find and the places. For instance, like in Santa Barbara, I found like a mineral salt cave and things like that. The holistic part of it. I've been working much more on my balance. Currently, I am in the middle of transitioning. I'm about to leave a corporate job I've had for a while.
Congratulations. So,
thank you. Thank you, Melissa. You're an inspiration.
You're welcome. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see what you do.
Oh, I'm excited and nervous, but I'll still continue to do part of what I do outside of, which is the branding and such, but for an array of clients and putting it out there in the universe. And I'm just kind of giving it up right now.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, you too. I think both of you have beautiful businesses and you both inspire me online every day. And so for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about how did you get here? Why did you become vegan? Why are you passionate about it?
Well, for me, I never liked meat. And growing up in Wisconsin, my family was like, well, if you're not going to eat the meat we're cooking, you're like, what the hell are you going to eat?
Yeah.
And then I stopped eating cheese and they were just like, yeah, what are you doing?
They're like, we can't. Yeah. We don't understand.
I never liked meat. And then when I went to college, I joined an animal rights group. And after I watched movies and saw everything, learned everything from them, I was like, I want to be vegan. Like, there's really no reason. Like, I don't even feel that good when I eat dairy. I was like the type of person who would eat Cheez Whiz out of a can, just like squirming in my mouth. And now I'm like, why? Ugh, I can't believe I did that. So I joined the animal rights group in college. And so I got more involved in animal rights, vegan food. I was never very healthy at first when I first went vegan. I was like still eating Oreo cookies all the time. I was definitely a junk food vegan. And then I started getting more into cooking for myself. And then a few years later, I started developing some health issues. So I definitely had to clean up my diet and heal myself through food. And then that definitely sparked an interest and a passion for wanting to help others do the same, because I learned a lot of stuff about what you should and shouldn't be eating. Like, I've told a lot of this before, but like turmeric, a lot of people are like, yeah, turmeric is so healthy and so good for you, anti-inflammatory. I'm like, yeah, but if you have some of the issues that I have, turmeric's high heat, and that makes your issues a lot worse. So mm-hmm. you have to be conscious of that too.
Well, you have to find out what works for your body mm-hmm. and what doesn't, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And that brings us to some of what you do. So
kind of had the same path in a way, not so much. Mine happened a little later, so I didn't, you know, do the animal rights as much in college. I was still eating cheese fries
and
going out late nights. But
what do you mean?
I don't know, San Diego.
Tijuana. That sounds dangerous, because I know San Diego now as an adult and it's a party town.
Yeah. So back in college, I think I remember most of it. Just kidding.
I don't.
And it's interesting seeing the transition now where I'm at. But there was a point where I had acid reflux ever since I was 16. And they just kind of shoved the purple pill down my throat and not really diet change. So I dealt with that for years and I was continuing to eat horribly. At 18, I read Skinny Bitch.
Oh my God. Me too. I read that one.
Yeah, that one hit me because it talked to you kind of in a, like, this tone, this aggressive yet, like, fact tone. Mm-hmm. You know, there was facts to it.
And they were cursing the whole
and they
time,
were, yeah.
So you had to love it because you were like,
exactly.
These bitches are so badass.
I was relating to it. I'm like, yes, this is not just, like, a book about just straight facts and I can't relate and I can't absorb.
And I don't think that Skinny Bitch used the word vegan the whole time.
Man, I'd have to go back and read it again.
I didn't even know it was a book about veganism. I just knew it was a book about what I shouldn't fucking put in my body.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, from there is when I started, like, realizing FDA stuff.
And, yeah, me too.
And organic and all this, all these things that I was kind of, I don't know, numb to the system. Like, I was just, I was a product of the system.
Yeah.
So I, you know, this was kind of a wake-up call in a way because I did part of, like, I stopped eating meat at that point, but I continued to do, like, eat, you know, turkey and dairy and such, and didn't realize dairy was causing some of my issues. And that lasted for a long time. And then my acid reflux wasn't going away. And I was still taking the purple pill, and it was doing other damage. And I was in New York. I moved back here. And I started researching a lot. And then veganism kind of popped up. Health first for me. And then I started, like, I was at a retreat, and they sat me down to watch Earthlings. And Earthlings.
I had to walk out of that movie, and I watched it.
That movie is so hard to watch.
My teacher locked us in the studio, basically. He's like, you don't have to necessarily walk. You can put your hand over your eyes, but you're not leaving here.
And that's aggressive. Yeah, a little aggressive. But I guess it worked.
Like, it worked. Hostage.
Yeah, I mean, there was one chick who fell asleep, and I was like, seriously?
I'm
How
sorry.
Is that possible?
Maybe that's her coping mechanism.
Yeah, right?
Like narcolepsy.
Yes.
I wish I could do that.
For me, it was like, you know, I was the complete opposite, like, light bulb switched on, and I was like, okay, got it. And then the spiral of, like, clean slate started to come about because I was doing all this research and people are interested. And actually, to be honest, I want to talk more about supplements and my diet change and things like that, because the pendulum has just swung in so many directions that I feel now I do talk a lot about food because that's a great way to bring people in. But I want to talk about the holistic and natural side too, because that's been really important.
100%. I mean, my story is I was brought in by food first, and then I discovered everything else. Like, I wasn't like you, Melissa. I didn't understand the animal activism component of it for a long time, actually. And once that set in, that's when I never went back. Because if it's my health, well, I can gamble with my health a little bit. But then when it came down to the animals and the health of the environment and things like that, that's when it kind of settled for me. But it was food first, then animals, then environment. And with food came alternative medicine and supplements and all of that, which was eye-opening, so eye-opening for me, having no awareness or no clue where I came from in North Carolina, where there wasn't any, there wasn't a yoga studio on every street, there wasn't green juice. Right. Now they have it, yay! But when I started in this world, it didn't exist. And so I was on a plane reading Skinny Rich. And I got off the plane and I was like, I'm changing everything, right? So I go, I went to Philadelphia to visit my new boyfriend's in-laws, which is now my husband, okay? This is like probably 10 years ago. I should probably get clear on when it was, but it was about 10 years ago. And I had already decided, like, I'm organic. Like, I had, I was doing alternative medicine. I'm doing acupuncture. But I was like, okay, everything has to be organic and it has to be, like, grass-fed and all of that. But I hadn't made the switch to veganism in any capacity at this point yet. But I didn't eat meat because I didn't eat meat since I was a kid. So I was just only thing I ate was chicken and seafood and dairy at this time. So I get off the plane and we go into, you know, meeting the family and all this stuff. We get to the restaurant. It's Italian. I order chicken parmesan because that's the only thing I knew how to order at an Italian restaurant. And I sat there and I thought, oh my God, the book. The book just told me I can never eat chicken. I go, this meal is going to come and I'm going to be humiliated in front of my in-laws because I cannot eat this food. Okay. So I got up from the table and I went and I talked to the waiter and I ordered something else. I don't remember, like, some big salad or something. And I sat back down and my husband's uncle was like, what are you doing? What are you talking to the waiter for? And I was like, oh, I changed my order. Then it was the Spanish Inquisition. What did you order? Why did you order it? You liberal hippie from California, all this stuff. Yeah. And you know what? I got the brunt of it and I didn't care because I was like, I'm not eating chicken ever again for the rest of my life. And I didn't, and I haven't. And then I went to seafood, and then I went to dairy, and then the whole thing is over, you know?
Yeah, seafood was the last for me, too. Like, I loved perch, and fish fries are very big in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, like, it was a bonding thing with my family and my grandparents to go out for Friday night fish fries.
That's the hardest part, I think, is the bonding thing, because sometimes it's hard to convince your family why you're doing something. And I remember when I would first go home to North Carolina to visit my friends, and my friend's mom was like, Allie, we made you a turkey burger. And I'm like, oh my God, I love you. I can't eat that. You know?
It's funny how people don't think, like, turkeys and fish are animals.
Yes.
Right.
It's like, you don't eat meat. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here's turkey bacon. I was like, no.
Right.
You don't understand how that works.
It was weird because I grew up here in L.A., yet you'd think it was like all green juices and stuff growing up, but I was such in a bubble here that it wasn't as natural.
What was your bubble? What bubble were you in?
I was in an LA bubble.
To me, that means everyone's an actress, but I also know that she was in True Beverly Hills, which I'm obsessed with the movie. So she knows where I was going with that. But I really do want to know what it means, because I live here and I'm probably going to have children here, and I'm terrified because I'm like...
Well, it's different now.
Okay.
I think it's different because there has been a movement. But you turn up, right? I mean, I don't know how this happened.
We heard those San Diego stories.
Yeah, you know, like there was some weird, that was my own little like universal something or other had in me. But there's still such a bubble in here, but I will say the movement is huge. All these chains of like even Sweet Greens and Tender Greens and all these like... All these greens have popped up. All these juice places have popped up. Pressed Juicery, all these semi-affordable options and like extremely unaffordable options. Mm-hmm. But they're here, and Trader Joe's is even like providing so much more in that realm. And I think that it's more okay, quote, you know, to be a part of this movement, and there's more people involved.
It's become mainstream.
It's mainstream. And back when I was growing up here, it wasn't. Right. I didn't know one person who was vegetarian, let alone vegan. I really didn't. It wasn't talked about.
Yeah, and growing up in North Carolina, it was not a thing, and it's just now becoming a little bit of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm seeing it everywhere. I used to go to West Virginia every now and then, and there was options at their local grocery store. They had field roast, tofurkey. They had in the most remote little town.
Field roast, that's great.
Yeah, there's
That was recently?
That was recently. I mean, even a few years ago, I found that there. So there's options coming about, I think, even the most remote
places. It's everywhere. The Beyond Burger, when it came out, what was it, like a couple years ago, I did not discover it in LA. I know you can't believe me, but I discovered it in New Jersey at their Whole Foods. And so the guy was cooking it at Whole Foods, and he said, you can only find this in the meat section. Because, let me back up. Mm. Beyond Burger used to have one. Maybe they still have it, but it was in the freezer section.
The Beast Burger?
Yeah, and it's not good. No, okay, not sorry. Good at all. Love you, Beyond, but it was terrible. Now, then they got the one that they put in the meat section, mm-hmm. and the guy cooked it for me on the counter. I had a bite of it, and I was like, I love this, and I'm pretty sure that my husband's family will eat this. So I got a bunch, brought them home, and they loved it. And we've loved it ever since, because it's something easy that can help transform. It's not going to make a meat eater into a vegan, but for that one meal they can. And every day that you eat a vegan diet, you save one animal per day. So mm-hmm. that one day makes a difference. That one Beyond Burger makes a difference.
I completely agree. My thing lately, I've been actually kind of frustrated in the vegan community because I feel there's a lot of vegan on vegan bashing and you're not vegan enough. And
that's gross.
Yeah, it is. And it's sad because we're supposed to be the compassionate group of mm-hmm. any group out there. We're compassionate. And I'm seeing this happen, and it's disheartening. So when it comes to being able to have like a meatless Monday, which might seem so little, one person having a meatless Monday who, let's say they eat meat the rest of the week, at least that is a lot of meals. If you have that one person multiply, you know, the ripple effect.
Yeah.
And yeah, we should be celebrating the fact that that's a thing. That's a thing on, that's a hashtag. That's a movement in its own.
That's my goal too, is just to help people eat more vegetables. Like even mm-hmm. if someone doesn't want to be vegan, like
yeah.
I would still just love to help them eat more vegetables in general. Like that's what I want to cook for people that necessarily aren't even vegan. They're just maybe vegan curious.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, well, if you take out the animal activism, environmental perspective, and you just say, I want to eat healthier. The number one thing that you can do is add more vegetables to your plate. And people get scared or grossed out by that because they just picture like some raw zucchini on their plate and they're like, I don't know what to do with this. But there are so many delicious ways to eat and cook vegetables, whether it's amazing salads with incredible salad dressings with nuts, beans, and seeds and all kinds of great things. Or there's so many ways to make vegetables delicious that are cooked and seasoned and, you know, cooked properly in delicious sauces that you don't even realize that you're not having meat. And so, like, I know a lot of meals are accidentally vegan. People don't even realize it, like curries mm-hmm. and things like that, and rice dishes and all kinds of things. So I think it's kind of like changing the meaning and the definition of what a lot of people know veganism to be, because they don't actually understand that we're not eating salads all day. Like, I eat a good variety of delicious food. Today I ate jackfruit tacos covered, smothered in sauce, smothered in avocado, smothered in lettuce. Like, it was so delicious. My taste buds were on fire. Like, I was like in heaven. Like, we all can have a great food experience no matter what diet we eat. And you're not missing out if you decide to go plant-based for a meal or for your lifetime.
I also think it also helps, the more that you understand what's on your plate, you're helping out like the local farmers, the sustainability factors here. If we're, you know, the environmental aspect. So, you know, I think that's part of the conversation.
That's one thing that happened to me when I was just recently traveling. So Food Heals Nation knows that we did the Food Heals Vegan Italian Getaway. And one of my biggest takeaways from that, and it seems simple, but it's like enjoying your food and mindful eating. So we were eating tomatoes grown off of the garden from the villa we were staying in, olives grown locally. All the wine was from wine grown on the property.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And so we're eating this food and it tastes better. So I get back to the U.S. and I'm like, dude, I can't eat an olive because those olives are so good. I get a martini in a bar. I'm like, no, thank you. Like, I'm such a food snob. But the truth is, it's not even, I mean, that's just a silly way to put it. But the truth is, it's about enjoying the experience of eating the food, knowing where your food is coming from, and appreciating that someone picked that lemon off the vine. Like, you know, that is such an experience with our taste buds that we can have. It's like an orgasmic experience, but normally we're so busy, we're on the hustle, we're like, and I'm guilty of this please don't think I'm preaching, because I'm like, oh, I do this too. I've done both, trust me.
Like eating in the car.
Eating in the car.
Guilty of that.
In front of the TV.
Exactly. I know it's terrible for me, but
but you're like, I'm sometimes on the rush. And sure, once in a while, fine. But if that's your lifestyle, like, there's so much that you can change. Make simple changes and you're going to feel so much better. And your digestion is going to be better.
Yes.
That's true.
Just like set your fork down between bites. That's something I try to do too.
Oh, yeah.
Or like not scroll through your phone, not watch TV.
Yeah. Chew slowly. Well, yeah. I just did a whole thing about mindful eating. And mindful eating to me is about, okay, if I was with you girls right now, we're eating that cheese that Leslie D'Urso brought over earlier. We'd be deliciously diving into it, talking about the flavors, and having a great conversation about our lives. That's mindful, meditative eating to me. If I was eating that and she was not, you guys were not here, I would be in front of the TV, wolfing it up as fast as I could, right?
Right.
That is not mindful eating. I might enjoy
it. Mindless eating.
Yes, yeah, it is mindless. Yeah. And my body will process it differently.
Absolutely.
That's where the emotional component comes in. If I'm eating because I'm too busy, if I'm eating because I'm avoiding something, I'm avoiding, oh, something happened today that I don't want to think about. Oh, something happened in my past I don't want to think about. Oh, I'm feeling bad about something, I'm just going to eat so I don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. Because eating does stimulate pleasure in our brains and our stomachs, okay? Let's just be honest. I don't have a problem with that. It's what happens. But let's make sure we're mindful about it and know when we're enjoying that bite, that we're truly enjoying it. And if we're going to cheat or whatever our cheating is, for me, it might be my vegan ice cream, because at least it's vegan. I will never eat dairy, but I will compromise on the sugar. But I better be enjoying the F out of that and not be complaining.
You can't feel guilty when you eat it.
I can't be like, I'm going to be so fat for eating this.
Yeah, because if you feel guilty while you're eating it, your digestion's not going to work properly.
Exactly.
And you're like, create this toxic relationship with food. Like, if you're eating something delicious, just fucking enjoy it.
Agreed.
Yeah. I think I've kind of hit that wall. Like, part of where I've been with Clean Slate is showing the other side of it too. The fact of like being human, real.
Yeah.
And
you
so
got to.
Yeah, I feel like you do. I don't like when people just say like, everything is great and lovely. I mean, like, life happens, things happen. I'm happy and things are wonderful and always perfect for you. That's awesome. But, you know, for me, life has ebbs and flows. And so recently it's kind of happened where I feel like I haven't connected as much with food. Because I've had a disconnect because of things personally that's been going on. I'm at a point right now where I've realized it and I'm making that transition again back to the whole foods, back to the basics.
Yep.
Even like going a little further by cutting out a lot of things that cause inflammation and stress on my system so that I can come back to like homeostasis.
Yeah.
And enjoy my foods properly and the mindset with it. So, you know, it's just kind of that balance that shifts that kind of happen.
Absolutely agreed. And like, I don't think you have to be religious or spiritual to just bless your food and just to say, I know that you are now going to nourish my body. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like a positive affirmation. You can believe in it or you don't have to believe in it, but why not? I think it changes the cellular way that we receive the food in our body. So just try it. Why not? If you don't, if you think it's BS, try it anyways. Can't hurt.
I haven't done that. I'm definitely going to try that one.
Yeah. Now. Doesn't mean you're anti-Jesus. Doesn't mean Jesus is going to turn the water into wine. It just means.
But could he?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. That's a another conversation. I don't got those answers. Okay. You see what we're drinking? Our daily red.
Yeah. This is kind of like Jesus wine.
It looks like Jesus smoky wine. It's definitely organic and vegan and no sulfites.
Ooh. I love that.
Yeah. So that's my thing with wine. But the problem is, I'll be honest, it's hard to find sulfate-free wine that is vegan, organic, and delicious. The wine in Italy doesn't have any of these problems because they don't allow the processing of wine in the way that the U.S. does. And in Italy, they don't have the problems that we have with GMOs and all of that. So everything there is so delicious. I know. We have to move there.
Anyway. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, I just want to eat one of those olives.
Oh my gosh, I love olives. I can't like walk past the Whole Foods olive bar without salivating.
I'm gonna have to go there now and see if anything right will compare. Okay, let's go through some of our favorite substitutes. So for anyone listening who is on the fence about plant-based or wants some more, you know, resources, like what are some of our favorites? So I'll start with mine, which Food Heals Nation knows, but in case you're a new listener, I am obsessed with this dairy substitute. So my number one dairy substitute is Oatly milk. Here's why. The Oatly, just regular milk, tastes like the milk I grew up drinking at childhood, which was 2% milk. The Oatly chocolate milk is chocolate milk that I can have for dessert and you can give to your kids. And then they have an Oatly barista blend that you can blend with your coffee, your tea, your mushroom, your matcha, whatever healthy, you know, drink you're drinking to get you some energy in the morning. And it foams up just like you're in a coffee shop and it's delicious. So that's my number one dairy replacement. What about you guys?
My number one dairy replacement, are we just talking milks right now or could it be anything?
Well, we can start with milk. Okay. And then we can go into cheese because I know we've got some cheese replacements on the table.
I was thinking about that's my number one question that everyone asks me, like, I want to be more vegan, but like, how the hell do I give up cheese?
How do I give up cheese?
Many options. It's crazy.
It is. Okay, but back to the milk. My favorite.
But we'll go there. Don't worry.
Okay, good. My favorite milk is Malk. M-A-L-K.
Yes, like, you brought that to my house for the...
Yes, I did.
Yeah, for the Rise and Bloom mastermind.
I love it. It's simple. I'm going to give them a little plug here. They're all the bottles are made with 6 ingredients or less. They have 1 cup of sprouted nuts in each bottle. They're all organic. No binders, no carrageenan.
So they're really clean. Oils,
super clean, super tasty. I love their cashew. They also have a maple pecan, which is amazing. Like I just like drink it out of the bottle. Don't tell my boyfriend. But it's so good.
Don't tell your boyfriend.
I always tell him not to drink out of the fridge. But then I do it. So that's my favorite.
Did you have your anniversary?
It's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks. We're in Palm Springs this weekend, guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 300 degrees, but it's fine.
It's okay.
No, let me just tell you the truth. I like Palm Springs that way because it's very meditative. It slows you down. It makes you present. It makes you chill. You're going to enjoy it.
That's what we're like turning off our phones. Like I'm deleting Instagram for the weekend.
Yes.
Like it's going to be so nice.
Good
for you.
Yeah. This is obviously going to air after.
You're going to sweat out a lot of toxins.
True that.
I can't wait.
I would say actually the Oatly chocolate milk I had it at Expo for the first time and it was so impressive.
I have it right now. Delicious. Do you want some?
No, don't do this. Wine, chocolate milk.
I will give it all to you. Anything I love it. You need.
I'm just going
to
come here every day now.
That's what I made their coffee drinks with.
The Oatly chocolate milk?
Yeah, so Tiff and Vince are drinking the Oatly and, hey guys, what's up? Our producer and videographer today, they are drinking the Oatly and Miyoko's vegan butter to make it creamy and espresso. Yeah. And you blend it up, and it's delicious.
I don't think I've ever done the Miyoko's butter in a coffee.
Well, it's basically the vegan bulletproof. Yeah. So obviously, I can't do the bulletproof, but I like the concept, so it's fun. That's what do you guys think?
So good.
They can't see your thumbs up, Tiff. You have to make an audio comment. All right, so go on. I interrupted you.
No, I mean, that's pretty much, I don't use milks too often. If I do, it's an almond milk base normally. But that Oatly chocolate milk was so good. It was like the perfect amount of like thickness, but not too thick. The creaminess, rich. I thought it was great.
Yeah, so, and I think
that's a good dessert.
The problem used to be that it was harder to find, but now it's on Amazon. So, I mean,
they're going through a shortage right now, though.
No, the shortage is over.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I just got it like 2 days ago.
Wait, what?
Interesting.
I just got, okay, so I'm crazy. So I just got it from Whole Foods, and I got it from Bristol, and they still have it at my coffee shop down the street. So I'm pretty sure the shortage is over.
Okay. Maybe it's just the barista?
The shortage that was going, is probably the barista blend.
Okay.
The shortage that was going on was happening when we were having the Rise and Bloom retreat, or the Rise and Bloom mastermind. I know that because I couldn't find it anywhere, so I had to beg the coffee shop down the street to sell it to me, and they did.
That's amazing.
But first they said it wasn't available, and then I said, hey, listen, I've told everyone at the retreat that they're going to have the Oatly barista blend. And I did this whole sob story and they go, okay, we'll sell it to you. It's like $6 or something. Okay.
Well, now you got some Oatly.
So. No, I know. They just didn't want me to deplete their stash.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next? Cheese.
Ooh, that's a good one. So.
You say that, I'm going to you.
That's fair. Okay, for an everyday cheese, even cold, follow your heart. I think nails it for me.
They're really good.
The slices, though,
the
right?
The slices, not the shreds, yeah. But the
or
slices.
Or the blocks.
Or like the blocks.
OG blocks from...
Right, the newer formula, the slices.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. What is it? The Gouda, provolone. Yeah, those are... I could eat them cold. Totally good. And then if I'm going fancy, I actually used to hold a vegan wine and cheese night.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was back in the day.
Can we revive that? Buzz or
something?
So I can come.
Should. Wasn't it at Buzz?
It was. It was at Buzz. Me and Alice used to do that. Now she's co-owner of Coco Bella Creamery.
Yum. Yeah. That's, we're going to go there next. Okay. Ice cream is next.
Oh, and then, my fancy cheese. Actually, not fancy. Let's go middle ground here.
Okay.
I think Kite Hill's chive cream cheese is like
it's really
it's
good.
My favorite.
Substitute.
It's your favorite?
Yes. I just eat it with a spoon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
You can use it even as like a dressing on a dip and all these options, especially on a bagel, of course. Mm-hmm. But it totally rules over tofutti.
Did my dog just fart?
Yeah. I'm petting her so well, she just let it
She's
out.
She's relaxed.
Jackson, what are you doing?
It's a vegan dog?
Mostly, yeah.
It smells like chive cream cheese.
I mean, I could go all day if you wanted to talk cheese, but you guys are up.
Melissa?
Let's see. Is it okay to talk about what we don't really like, just to let people know our thoughts,
as long
too?
As they're not a sponsor. I'm just kidding. I don't have any cheese sponsors.
But if you'd like to be a cheese sponsor, please call.
If you would like to be a cheese sponsor, info@foodhealthnation.com.
So something that I find interesting is that...
Jackson just jumped on a lawn.
Oh, you really did mean he was going to jump on me.
I'm sorry. I wasn't kidding. I wasn't joking. I'm sorry.
He wants to get his farts closer to the microphone. Just this don't is what fart on me.
He's already done it to Vince, I know, today. I don't know if he's done it to Tiff. He's done it to me.
Wait,
I know he did it to Leslie earlier. He's going to chill there for a minute.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay.
Okay, just chill.
I'll take a picture of you, too. Now, okay. Melissa, what's your favorite cheese?
Well, something that... I don't really like are the Deia's shreds or their blocks of cheese.
Have you had the new formula, though?
I think I did at Expo. It's okay. But I do really like their mac and cheese and their pizzas, which is interesting.
I'm with you on that.
Because I don't like their other stuff, but I like the pizzas. And the, like, I had their
I
mac
think
and
the
cheese
new
today.
The formula is a little better, though. Like,
okay.
I tried it recently, like the circular like slices they have.
Okay, I don't think I've
had
that.
I was impressed, but I will say, their ingredients list,
not
when
so
I
good.
Put it next to, well, I put it next to Follow Your Heart, it's almost identical.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. They kind
they got
of
got the same
this
company
is interesting.
In Greece.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think Deia is such a good transition cheese, and I'm so glad that it exists.
It's like the first one out there.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, besides
and
Follow Your Heart blocks.
There's mm-hmm. a lot of times where I'm in towns where there is nothing for me, and so I am thankful
mm-hmm.
For Deia. And I will say also at Expo West this year, you know, they had the huge thing, which I think they had last year, but I swear I liked it better this year. They had their pizza and their mac and cheese and all of these things. And Expo West is like a big expo where you get to go try natural products, and they have all of their new food on display, in case you're listening, you're not sure, but we all best go.
Day. Best day ever. Best weekend ever.
It's really the best weekend ever.
It's really fun. We should actually do a whole podcast. So I can't believe we haven't, because we most of us go every year, but the point is that I would say that this year, I agree with you, I think they stepped up their game. I didn't actually look at the ingredients list, so I didn't realize, but maybe they have changed their formula.
Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to someone last year and asking him a question about, like, oh, so what did you guys do different this year? And he's like, well, we actually keep playing with our formula.
Oh.
Like, that's got to be pricey.
That's good.
But, yeah.
That's funny.
And I guess they can do it. So they've been keep playing with it, and they made those the cheese sticks.
Yeah, I ate one of those.
Cheese sticks, like, they were, what do they want? String cheese.
It was like a string cheese, but you put a bowl. You can't string cheese. It. You just had a bite of it.
I stringed it.
Did you?
You were able
to. I feel like you're really anti-Daya.
I'm not.
She likes the pizza.
I do, and I had the mac and cheese today.
I stringed it. I stringed it like string cheese.
Maybe mine was too warm.
No, I didn't do it either.
We must have gone at different times.
Probably.
Did we not hang out at Expo West? What's up with that?
I don't think so.
How rude.
I didn't like the yogurt.
We went to Whitney's party.
I know, it's hard to meet up there. It's like...
It's so crazy. I know.
It's like the entire convention center.
Crazy. Yeah. It's too much. You do your own thing.
Okay, we'll do another podcast on Expo West.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to go, just email me and I'll put you in touch with what to do. Well, our friend Whitney has a whole guide on how to handle
it. Yeah, that was very helpful.
We'll do that. Okay, so cheese, what about, you were talking about yogurt and ice cream.
There's this new brand out that I haven't really seen many places, but they sent me some to try, and it was so good. It's called Lava. I think it's L-A-A-V-A. You didn't?
Mm-mm. It was this is so interesting. Okay.
Good. I liked it because it's like sweetened with plantains.
Which
it's,
I thought I would like.
And it's creamy.
Yeah.
Which, like, most yogurts are, like, I really like the Forager cashew yogurt, but it's really thin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I really like the Lava because it was like thick, which I don't like. I did not like Coconut Cult, which everyone like loves the coconut yogurt, but it was way too tangy and too thick.
I like the tangy and I like the thick. I'm not a fan of their price point.
Yeah.
It's like $22. $22
no.
for yogurt.
Yeah, for like a mason jar.
All right. Yeah. I can't recommend that yet. Sorry.
Yeah.
Fine. Try it once. That's fun, but
I tried
general.
It at Expo again. This is why Expo's great, because you get to try all this expensive shit that
that's
you wouldn't
true.
Otherwise
that's
try.
True. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, speaking of that, I did forget to say my favorite two cheeses, which are still, I mean, I have a lot, and some of the ones are the ones you said, Kite Hill, but Miyoko's, which is the one I have in studio over here, if
Kite
you guys want
is
any.
Really good.
And I still, I'm still a huge fan of hers. And hers is the one that I'll have. So I do my wine and cheese parties. I do an Oscar party. I do a birthday party. I have regular, like, Dan does his, like, filmmaker friend parties. And so I always do a cheese plate, and there's not one bit of cheese on that plate that has dairy in it. People have no idea. So it's usually a combination of a few, like Kite Hill, like Miyoko's. But if you're in LA, and hopefully she will expand, Yvonne's vegan cheese is the best cheese I've ever had. She's a friend of all of ours. We are going to have her on the podcast, but she's lovely, a little bit shy, okay? I'm just going to say, she's kind of shy. So she has some of the cleanest ingredients and some of the best tasting cheese. So if you're in Los Angeles, just go to Yvonne'sVeganKitchen.com and order straight from her.
And with her crackers.
Yeah. So this is not a plug. She's not a sponsor. I'm literally obsessed with her and her cheese, and she knows it. So she, every time I have a party, she comes over because she brings all the cheese. She's made me cakes.
Oh,
she makes
donuts.
The best wedding cakes.
You had her donut.
Oh my God.
I love her donuts.
Her cupcakes.
I haven't had that
one.
Her donuts.
I don't know if there's anything better out there in terms of like a local organic vegan chef. But sorry, Food Heals Nation, I know that you might be salivating if you don't live in Los Angeles. I really do apologize, but I just had to give her a shout out on the cheese and the non-dairy options.
I just had an event the other day, and no one there was vegan. There was like 6 or 7 people there. I was the only one who was vegan, and I served Miyoko's cheese, and it was like gone.
Yeah.
Like nobody knew. Yeah. They just loved it. They ate it.
No one knows. Exactly. At my cheese parties, they have no idea, and I have beautiful cheese plates, and I put grapes and crackers, and everything is gluten-free, everything is vegan, and people are just... They're like, where is this from? How do I get more? And I'm like, oh, well, actually, and they can't believe it's vegan.
Yeah.
So that's one of my favorite things to do now, because I know a lot of people, when they start out, they say, I would be vegan, but I can't give up mm-hmm. cheese. Well, now you can. I understand years ago you couldn't, but now you can.
I used to say that too, and I haven't had cheese in like 14 years.
And I feel like there's so many things like dishes and stuff that people, they don't know unless you tell them that it's vegan. Like, yeah. Right. Really, it's just true in general. I've done that with Beyond Burger.
Yes.
I've done it with the turkey chili that I make. I've crumpled up the Beyond Burger before I used, what was the other one? Upton's, I think.
Okay, let's talk about that. So what are some of your favorite meat substitutes?
Well, that Beyond Burger patty.
It's so good.
It is really good. Crave it. I mean, it's not the healthiest thing in the world, but it's a burger. So it's, you know, you don't need any oil to cook with it. It's like perfectly like...
You can cook it in water.
I've
never had a non-vegan not like it. And I'm not saying that it converts everyone or anything like that. But I've never had someone be like, ooh, this is gross. Because veggie burgers can be gross AF.
They can.
Yeah.
This one is not. This one is delicious.
I'm not the biggest fan of the Impossible patty.
Me neither.
I've never had it.
I had it this weekend, and everything else about the burger was great. The patty itself is a little trippy for me, and it's also the taste.
It's not as good.
It's just not there, and it has gluten and soy. So,
yep.
Mm-hmm. To me, it's just not worth it.
I'm obsessed about rats. You're not a vegan.
Okay, so did you guys know I had to review this burger on camera, and I totally blew it?
No.
So our mutual friend, you guys know Vince mm-hmm. Leah, he does all the great, amazing videos about, you know, helping people go vegan who aren't vegan, trying things. He does tasting videos. He does review videos, smoothie videos, all kinds of great stuff. So, and he's a regular around here. He's been on the podcast so many times. Well, he took me to taste the Impossible Burger for the first time. And I should not have been on camera because I'm not a good reviewer, because I did not like it. And I wanted to love it and be like, oh my God, this is mm-hmm. the best thing ever. But now that I've had the Beyond Burger, the Impossible Burger was terrible.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to review it. And literally a guy on YouTube goes, she was the worst reviewer ever. And I was like, I mean, I'm a hater, but I kind of agree with you. I'm sorry, because I didn't destroy it. I wasn't like, this is disgusting. I was just like, it's okay. I don't know. I was not a good reviewer.
But I do know like some meat eaters who prefer it, because I think it's more similar to like the McDonald's patty. It's like the cheaper substitute, even though it's not cheaper. But they prefer it over the Beyond Burger.
Whatever works. Yeah.
They say like Impossible Burger is more like a fast food burger.
Yeah.
And then Beyond Meat's more like a gourmet, like thick burger.
Interesting. Because I guess for me, I haven't had either since I was a child, because I was like, I don't know, before teenage, I was like 12 when I gave up burgers. Mm. So I don't know what they taste like. I have a memory, but I don't actually know what the consistency feels like anymore.
Yeah, I haven't had one in probably like 15 years.
And I was about to say about that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So we gotta trust the people that have had burgers more recently than us. So I was a bad reviewer.
Yeah.
But the fact that, there's two very distinct options that, you know, if you don't like one, you have the other. And then you've got veggie patties, which is, the fact that there's all these options is just insane. And the chicken substitutes, I think, are unbelievable.
Like, okay, what are your favorites? Yeah.
Tell the difference. Like, I think you can't tell the difference with Gardein.
I love
like,
Gardein.
Yeah, you know, if I want just a down-home, like, orange chicken or whatever.
Yeah.
Gardein nails it.
All right, and let's talk about Gardein. I think Gardein is fucking delicious. Do I think Gardein is a health food?
No.
But let's make this clear that we're talking about substitutes for meat so that you can choose not to eat meat for a day, or, you know, if it's your lifetime decision, great. The point is that we want to be healthier, and so Gardein is a treat for me.
Yeah, I personally actually, I don't stock it in my house, any of these mm-hmm. products. If I do, I have like one package of something for emergencies.
Yeah.
But I primarily keep a lot of fresh fruits, vegetables, and I do always keep Kite Hill unsweetened yogurt and avocados, and there's some packaged stuff that I have as go-tos, but when it comes to like substitutes, not very much. Because I mean, I do go out to eat often too, so.
Yeah, me too.
It'd be too much.
I think Gardein is a really good brand. I think they're doing really good things. Mm-hmm. They've got chicken, they've got seafood, they've got things done different ways, things that you wouldn't think of. And I think it's pretty darn good. But it's not
seafood, by the way.
Yeah, they have seafood.
Did you try Good Catch?
I know. We just both looked into Good Catch.
Yeah.
At Expo.
I went to the Good Catch party at Expo 2 years ago, and I about lost my shit because crab cakes was the last thing I gave up. And
so good.
The Good Catch crab cakes were divine.
And with their whatever tartar sauce they used too, and it was so
And it's all gluten free, which is amazing because many meat substitutes have gluten, so I can't eat them. But
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Me too. I really can't stores. Wait. Yeah.
And exactly, it's not in stores yet, so that's the thing. But it will be. And so if you're listening right now, just put on your list to look for. Like, oh, I heard about it on the Food Heals podcast.
Good Catch.
Good Catch, yes. And I think it's got to be soon. Because
I hope so.
I'm not talking about this year, 6 months ago. I was at their party a year and a half ago. They've got to be in stores.
Were they even at Expo? I feel like this is their first year at Expo.
They had a private party where we got to sample everything. I don't know if they had a booth.
Gotcha. I didn't go to that. Sorry.
I know. Can we do like a party hookup later and just like trade all our Expo parties?
That's for sure. 100%.
Gotta go to more of those.
Okay. Any other substitutes you guys want to mention? Faves?
Well, we didn't talk about ice cream, did we?
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know one. I don't, because I don't eat ice cream that often. Eat ice
cream either. I have them all. Okay. So mainstream or LA based? I got both. LA based, Coco Bella, mainstream, Ben and Jerry's, vegan. They have four flavors to start with. And just that seed and eat, drink, vegan, they collaborated. They had Ben and Jerry's booth and they had like two new flavors. Oh. So, I don't remember what they were, but now they have like six flavors or something. They started with four flavors. They're all pretty good. My favorite is the cookies and cream one, or it's
peanut butter cookies.
PB and cookies. Yeah. That is the best one. So, that's the mainstream one. It's in all the grocery stores. Even Breyers has a vegan line now. Pretty darn good for mainstream. I grew up on Breyers, so that's a good one for me. Mm-hmm. In LA, oh, we are so lucky, you guys.
We have so much ice cream
have so much.
Van Leeuwen.
Oh, which one?
Van Leeuwen.
I don't even know that one. See? There's some I don't even know.
Van Leeuwen has some good options.
Salt and Straw.
I was going to say
I live by a Salt and Straw and a Jenny's, which always has vegan options. They have that rosé one I sent you.
Yum.
At Jenny's, it was so good. It was like a sorbet, which I normally don't like to go for. Like if I eat ice cream, like I want something creamy.
Uh-huh.
But this one was so freaking good.
I want it right now.
You got to go get it.
Ooh, Natamu.
Yes.
That
birthday cake one that I had at Expo was so good.
Ugh. That's right. That is the one that I usually get when I do get it.
I love birthday cake ice cream with chocolate ice cream mixed together.
I'm with you. Yeah. If I'm going ice cream, I'll do it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Chocolate everything.
I'm like a salty savory over sweet person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm the opposite. Okay, I'm sweet over...
Good sweet Lord. Over savory.
Yeah, I was going to say salty. I got confused.
Yeah, my fault. I started that way. So you would choose like a brownie sundae over French fries?
Yes, I would.
Why not just have both?
Okay.
I always like to have something savory and then like a little bit of sweet afterwards.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
But I usually crave savory.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I have the savory, I'm like, well, fuck, now I need sugar.
Yeah.
Like balance it out. Hugh bars are good for that. If you guys have ever had Hugh chocolate bars?
I have.
A little square really after dinner every night. So good.
Talk about healing acid reflux and digestion and transitioning that into a passion for healing others.
Really, that started with me when I was 16. I had severe acid reflux. And it continued because the doctors gave me a purple pill and told me and pushed me on my way. And so I took that for years, but I was never actually doing anything else. I wasn't trying to heal. I was just masking it. That's when I read Skinny Bitch. And that was for just the movement in general, not necessarily for acid reflux. But it helped me transition out of the mindset of eating meat. But I wasn't realizing dairy was also a culprit and as such. So years later, I had such a crazy episode where I was in Vegas having fun. I was with friends. And I couldn't breathe. I felt like literally there was like that like 200-pound man on my chest. Mm-hmm. I had to sit. I couldn't go out. And I just like was downing a ton of Tums plus the acid reflux pill. So I noticed that was when I needed to do my own research. I started looking to alternative medicine. I started just becoming my own guinea pig. And that's when I learned about veganism, food, like basically cutting out inflammatory foods as well. And then on a retreat, my teacher showed me Earthlings. And that kind of sealed the deal.
That's a movie.
Yeah.
It's a documentary. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to watch.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. It is, but it's incredible. I mean, the things you know about that you want to ignore, you pretend it's not happening. And everybody you tell it, like, oh, you should see this. They're like, no, I know what's happening. Those are the people that really need to see it because we're choosing to be really ignorant to these things.
We don't know.
We don't.
And then it goes beyond that. It goes to, you know, for me, big pharma. And so that's when I started really learning about holistic medicine. And when I made that shift and I was really focusing on it, everything started to change.
Yeah.
And it's only, you know, when I started eating all the other things, going out to doing like influencer stuff and not very healthy vegan food, did acid reflux start to creep back in. So it's really finding my balance again with it because it's still a process. But it's so much better where it was. I don't take the purple pill anymore. And
hell yeah.
Yeah. Man, I could talk about that for a long time.
Yeah.
And Melissa, you have a healing story as well from a similar thing of acid reflux and digestion. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So many years ago, maybe like 15 years ago or a little bit longer, I had a really bad stomach infection called H. pylori. And it, an endoscopy where they went down my throat, they took a biopsy of my stomach and was like, yeah, you have this terrible infection. So I had to take antibiotics for 14 days, like 8 pills a day. And it was terrible. It made me feel way worse than I had ever felt, even just with the stomach infection. And I feel that that kind of set me up to have a destroyed gut for the next 15 years, just being on that high dosage of antibiotics. But I felt better. And like I had some acid reflux with that too. And I was right around the age of, you know, my early 20s. So I was drinking a lot, going out every weekend, and that was not helping the cause at all.
What do you mean? We never do that in our 20s.
Yep, don't remember.
We're all so innocent.
Yeah. Vodka's totally healthy for you. It's fine.
It's a potato.
Yeah. Exactly. Potatoes are vegan.
Vodka is vegan.
Yes.
Shout out to the vegan bros because it is.
That was a great episode, by the way.
Thank you. And Whitney was on that one too.
Yes. Of Whitney. So after I healed that, I just went back to my normal life and was kind of fine. I ate a lot of vegan junk food. I still drank a lot. And over the years, I started to develop more and more health issues. And then eventually I got eczema all over my hands and my arms, which I had as a child, but it went away for most of my life. And I realized that it was really bad, like really, really bad. And if I wanted to heal myself from that, I needed to switch my diet because I didn't know where to go when it first happened. I was trying to figure out what was going on, what it was. And I went to just, you know, a traditional Western doctor. And he was like, here, just take the steroid cream, put it on there. And I was like, okay. So I put the steroid cream all over because I just didn't really know better. I was desperate. I wanted to try anything. And it went away. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, maybe this stuff does work. And I have a healthcare background, so I would love to believe in that stuff. But then after a couple of weeks, it came back like 10 times worse. And I was like, yeah, I got to figure out something else. So I went and saw a Chinese medicine doctor. And he was like, steroid creams are the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
And you become addicted to them and you can go through steroid withdrawals, which eventually will show up just like eczema too. I had to completely change my diet. I had to eat a cooling diet. As being vegan, I'm sure you know, we eat a lot of like turmeric and ginger and cinnamon and a lot of tropical fruits and really, really delicious things that are all terrible if you have something such as eczema. And I also found out that I had leaky gut, so I had to fix that as well. So going on all these crazy diets for both of those things. But food did heal me. You can have a blog post all about it. You can see before and after pictures. But
where do we see the blog post?
It's forkandplants.com. Like, looking at those pictures is so painful for me. And I've even referred friends to go see my Chinese medicine doctor now who have eczema. And they're on the same diet and they're having the same results. And it's just incredible, like, what taking a couple herbs can do, switching your diet around. Like, even though turmeric and ginger and cinnamon are really healthy things, like, they're not good for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in a juice cleanse to heal my eczema and it just made it worse. And it's like, well, duh, because there's like ginger and turmeric in half those drinks. So yeah,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's for acid reflux, anti-inflammatories, and that's where it's at for. And there's so many things that seem to be great. And
an alkaline diet's like the best.
Yeah.
Like a lot of leafy greens. Like that's ultimately what you want to do is an alkaline diet.
So anti-inflammatory diet, alkaline diet, what do those consist of? Let's just list out some things that we can do right now to add more alkalinity into our diet and just make ourselves healthier.
Actually, have you ever read Medical Medium?
Yes.
Yes. I started doing celery juice because of...
Yeah. Celery juice is probably the best thing you can do. And it's such a random thing. Like, I tell people about that and they're like, that makes no sense. Like, oh, just read this section here and it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So what's in the celery juice?
So the celery juice has minerals that can help replenish, right? And help with the stomach lining.
I believe so.
And it's got all the salts and the
details,
there's
but
there's detailed. Yeah,
I'm looking it up so that we can be
accurate. Got, like, all these vitamins and minerals that are super good.
Just read that section in the book.
Like, if ever I have like a little eczema flare up, like I have a little one on my arm right now, but I'll start drinking celery juice every morning and just like half of a like there's celery sold like this. I just cut that in half and like I juice half in the morning. Use the next
sometimes
half the
I can't even juice, so I just eat the stalks by themselves first thing in the morning. For those who just can't always juice.
Yeah. You can blend it too, I guess, and strain it.
Yeah, that too.
All right, so Medical Medium says, celery juice is most powerful when you drink it solo. While it's great to consume other green juices or vegetables juices and add in items like spinach, kale, parsley, cilantro, apples, blah, 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 drink those mixed juices at a different time than your straight celery juice. These blends function differently than what Medical Medium is recommending as your greatest tool from recovering your health, which is pure celery juice taken on an empty stomach. Mm-hmm. If you drink your celery juice first thing in the morning, it will also strengthen your digestion of foods you eat for the rest of the day. So look this up, Food Heals Nation. Yeah. We're not going to go all into this, but we know a lot of people, including these two beautiful ladies, who subscribe to this and have used it to help heal their gut and their digestion. So why not? It's not going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, a drug could hurt you. Trying to drink celery juice in the morning can't hurt you.
And just get organic celery too.
Yeah.
Good point. Agreed.
Make sure it's organic.
And the thing about it is, like, I'm not saying I have to subscribe to everything, but he isn't pushing, pills or
supplements. He doesn't have a celery juice powder that he's trying to sell you.
It's not sponsored by the celery company.
Yeah. Exactly. So he has another book with like life-changing foods also, and it like just tells you what these foods can do for you. Like what cilantro could do for your blood and things like that.
Yeah. Cilantro is another thing that's high heat, but I did take it after my eczema was mostly healed. I took it to detox from heavy metals, the celery pill. And that was incredible too. That did wonders for my gut, for my liver and things like that.
So much amazing stuff out there that's natural that I've been using for years and years and years and years and years. That most of our medicine is based off of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems foreign to a lot of people in this day and age.
It's crazy that we're the minority.
Yeah.
You're like, we're using like a natural substance from the freaking planet. Like something
Melissa cursed everyone.
Oh shit.
I wasn't gonna do that on Facebook Live. But like this, like something is something so worked up. Something is so natural and like can be so powerful for our bodies, and like we're in the minority because we want to use it.
Right.
So like, no, but the doctor says you need this pill. I'm like, why? Like, why would that be your first choice? No. You gotta do this through food.
Now that I've went that route for so long, and I have a general doctor and a holistic doctor, so I could literally bounce things off of both of them, because there is a time and place for a general doctor.
You need both. You need like integrative care, absolutely.
Exactly. So I agree.
Well, Melissa and I are obsessed with Dr. Cabral, who will tell you that everything is either acute or chronic based. And so if I have a doctor that can heal me of either problem, I'm good. And the thing is that if something is chronic based, we have to figure out the cause. There is no pill that is going to cure that. We have to figure out the cause so that we can come up with a plan to heal ourselves and give the body the tools that it needs to heal itself. If I'm in a car accident, take me to surgery, stitch me up, and give me the drugs. Other than that, I don't want the drugs. And, you know, that's my philosophy. It doesn't matter whose philosophy it is. It matters what works for you. And so discovering what works for you and how you heal yourself helps you then help others heal. So a lot of people look up to you as influencers to help them heal. And I know that you cook for people and you cook for families, and I know that you influence people and you help people get healthier. So let's talk about how you turned your passion into helping other people heal.
Yeah. So I actually just quit my job in December. I was working an office job. Yay. Yes, I'm so excited. I feel just so free. And before that office job, I was working in healthcare. So I do have a healthcare background, but it's just no longer in alignment with my beliefs, like helping people treat their diseases with medicine, like we've just been talking about. It's like, I want to help prevent that. I don't want people to get to that point. So I quit my job to focus on my passions of helping people live healthier, eat more vegetables. Even if they're not fully vegan, just like a meatless Monday can still be great for your health. Just, yeah, eating more vegetables. So that's what I'm doing if you need help.
So how can we work with you? Like, I'm a family and I want my meals cooked, or I'm in Iowa. Like, how can we work with you?
Yeah, so, well, if you're local to LA, I would love to come cook for you and just help you incorporate a meal plan that works best for you and your needs. If you're not local, we can Skype. I can help you go through your kitchen, find ingredients that maybe you shouldn't be eating based on your needs.
Yeah, I
like,
love
like anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so open to any help you need, even if you just want to like email me and ask me questions.
Amazing.
I just want people to heal, and you can do that through food. You don't need to take pills.
Agree. Love it. And Alana?
Well, I feel like that I was my own guinea pig for so long.
Yeah.
And that there were other people around me who were sick and with real issues, and I knew that I actually had the ability to provide some information for them, and they were listening. It helps. And I was shocked that I actually gained enough insight and read enough and guinea pigged enough that I was able to provide it. So then it just kind of spiraled, and that's how Clean Slate came about. And then it spiraled even further to kind of the food, the restaurant and events and such, because it's such a movement. And at the same time, I love doing that part. I love being a part of that community, but I also really, I love researching and continuing to understand how to heal.
Yeah.
Because I just see people all day long, unhappy, like sick. Mm-hmm. And I listen to them and I try not to put my two cents as much, you know, unless they ask for it.
It's hard not to sometimes.
It's really hard. And I just have to sit there and go, yeah, uh-huh. Maybe. Have you tried this one little thing? Right. You know, like super non-aggressive. Because I remember back when I first started, I was like a little aggressive about it. Mm-hmm. I think we all, I don't.
Most vegans are in the beginning.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. The pendulum's
perfect.
Yes. And that's where I'm like, oh, the vegan on vegan hate, you know? So that's where I'm, yeah, to me, it's, so many people need healing, and myself included. And so I know that I love reaching out to others, and I love when people reach out to me and vice versa. So I want to just continue it, especially when traveling. I think that's the hardest. So on my blog, I would write about what I would bring, what I would take with me, where I was eating, things like that.
Well, we're going to do a whole episode on travel. We already decided offline. So this is happening. Yes. So we're going to do one on vegan travel and how to veganize your city and talk about some of our favorite places that we've been. And anyone who's listening right now, Alana, where can everyone find you online, stalk you on Instagram, all that good stuff?
Well, you guys can find me at Clean Slate. That's K-L-E-A-N dash S-L-A-T-E.
Okay.
Exactly, it's with the K. And on Instagram, Clean Slate, so it's underscore also.
And your phones will try to autocorrect, so if you're like, why can't I find her, your phone probably autocorrected. So hey.
Yes, it's with a K.
Yes. And Melissa,
I'm Forkin Plants on everything, which is Forkin, like F-O-R-K-I-N.
What is what could that stand for? I'm just not sure.
You know, maybe like fork in a plant and you eat it, or like a fucking plant. Just eat a fucking plant once in a while.
I just wanted to hear her say it.
Whatever you like it to be.
I love it. Well, thank you, ladies, much for being here.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Side effects of this podcast may include increased health and vitality, thoughts of living longer, developing a more positive outlook on life. In rare cases, people have experienced a strong desire to put down the Ben and Jerry's, get off the couch, and take a walk outside. If you experience any of these symptoms, tell your Facebook friends immediately.